And turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, please. We continue in our series through the book of Romans here on Sunday mornings. And we begin a new chapter, the 14th chapter. And I'll give you just a brief overview of what it deals with, and then we'll read our text here in just a moment. We're going to read down through verse 16. We won't cover all of those verses this morning. We'll just take the first four. But Romans chapter 14 deals with sort of what we would maybe call a controversy in the church at Rome. And Paul is addressing a conflict, or the potential conflict anyway, between some who adhered to certain personal convictions that they held regarding eating of certain meats and foods and so on, some observing special days, holy days, etc., putting extra emphasis on those things, and others did not. And the thought and the principle really behind chapter 14, and you'll see this as we read our text here, is that God's people should not be people who criticize their brethren of which they don't completely agree with, especially or when it comes to matters that really don't involve doctrine or principle. When it's a secondary issue, when it's a secondary issue that the Bible doesn't speak specifically on or clearly in, we ought not to be critical or judgmental of our brothers and sisters in the Lord for some preference that they might hold. And that's really what you'll see as we read this text. Let's go ahead and read down through verse 16. Paul says in verse 1, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of." And Paul is highlighting, the importance of walking and living in love with our brethren. We talked a lot about our Christian liberty in our 1 Corinthians series, and Paul somewhat deals with somewhat the same issue, not exactly the same. But again, the principle and the thought here is that God's people ought not to be critical or judgmental of our brethren, of which we don't completely agree with, when it comes to these secondary type issues where the Bible doesn't speak necessarily plainly on. And like I said, Paul's addressing a conflict in the church at Rome here. And we'll talk more about this and break this passage down after we pray, and then we'll begin, all right? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd give us understanding of your word, where we want your spirit to be here, Lord, and that you'd help us, Lord, to be doers of the word, Lord, to make application in our own life, and Lord, to remember that the word of God is given for us, and we have all things that pertain to life and godliness here in your word. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to pattern our life after it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now some in this church at Rome, they hadn't grown into full spiritual maturity yet, and some of them still adhered to maybe throwbacks of their former life. Some were Jews who still thought that they should adhere to the Jewish dietary laws. Others might have been nervous about eating meat that had been offered to idols as if it might, you know, soil or dirty their relationship with the Lord. Others in the church, maybe from some cultural influences, apparently had taken on some form of a vegetarian diet. Verse 1 of our chapter said, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs." That word herbs there really basically has the meaning of vegetables from a Greek word. And so here you got all of these different kinds of people in the church, and all of these differences that were happening in the life of the church at Rome. And Paul is addressing the fact that, you know what, we still need to get along even though there are differences among us. And that is a biblical position. And Paul admonishes these people here, maybe the more mature saints of God, to receive the weaker brother. The point, or the greater point here, is that some in the church had this thing about them where they were hung up on these secondary matters. And Paul calls them weak in the faith here, actually. Those who seem to be hung up on these secondary matters. And Paul says, no, the mature thing to do and the godly thing to do is to receive that weak brother. And but not to doubtful disputations. This word disputations has the sense of a decision or a judgment, basically passing judgment. And so Paul says, receive that weak brother. Don't make judgments on them. Don't pass judgment on them falsely. And the injunction here to receive the weaker brother is in the imperative case. It's a command to receive the weaker brother, to befriend, don't shun, don't pass judgment on. Now look at verse 2. "For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs." Specifically here, some had rightfully held the position that as a saint of God, as a Christian, we could eat any type of food. God has blessed it. But there were some who were weak in the faith, Paul calls them, who took a more conservative or restrictive position. And they thought, apparently, that Christians should maybe only eat vegetables or have a vegetarian-type diet. It's noteworthy here that the more restrictive position is not described as a stronger, but as a weaker position here by Paul. And as the text will unfold, and as we talk about this in the next week or two, you're going to see that the reason it's considered that is because their position wasn't predicated or based upon their faith or their New Testament principles, but it was based on something of their former life. Get to verse 3. Paul says, here's the crux of the issue, though. No matter the difference, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. And so Paul says, don't let him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and don't let him that doesn't eat judge the one who eats, for God hath received him. The word translated despise here in this verse really takes on the idea or the meaning of looking down on another. As if you know, I'm superior to another one. The word translated as judge here is the Greek word krino, and it means or carries the idea of being critical towards another. So Paul says, don't look down your nose at one who's not the same as you, and the other one, don't be critical in your position towards them. So the one who took a less restrictive position ought not to look down upon those who held a more restrictive position. And likewise, the more conservative brother shouldn't be critical of the one that he thought was a compromiser for what he's doing. What needs to be remembered here is that this matter that's involved here, number one, it was in the context of a local church. It was something that was going on within this body. But secondly, it was an issue that didn't pertain to doctrine. And thirdly, it was really a matter of some people having a stronger understanding of the Word of God than others. Mature saints of God versus weaker believers. This whole issue of judging or don't judge or don't be critical, this is not a license to compromise convictions or principles and be able to live however I want to live and people can't judge me. That's not what this is talking about. And so, I want to break these verses down here and we can learn some principles here from God's Word. First of all, number one, there's always going to be differences among believers, and we need to accept that. There's always going to be differences among believers, and we need to accept that. Verses 1 through 3 makes that very clear. There's never going to be a time when everyone sees and thinks exactly the same way in everything. But we still should get along in spite of the differences. There still should be unity in the body of Christ. Verse 1 cautions us to receive our Christian brother even when we don't necessarily agree or see things the same way. Verse 1 says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." Some people have a tendency to shun believers who might be considered weak in the faith in some way. Why is the question. But the reason that people have a tendency to shun others is because they're different than us. They're not like us. This is a human tendency. When someone doesn't think the same as I do, doesn't see things exactly the same way that I see them, doesn't have the same preferences as me, the tendency is to start to sort of shun that other believer, or that other brother, as if somehow they're so different than me that you just can't be in my circle. This is sort of the thing that happened in the church at Corinth, and why there were cliques and factions in the church at Corinth, because they didn't see things the same way. They had preferences, and they formed their own little groups, and it caused disunity in the church. And Paul cautions and says, listen, receive ye the brother who's weak in the faith. Be careful not to shun a believer who's just simply different than you in their preferences. The word receive here, it means to take to oneself. It means to admit to friendship. Allow them to be friends. To take to oneself. Receive ye. So often, people will reject those who are not like me. That's the human tendency. They're not like me in their thinking. They're not like me in their practice. And the tendency is to look down on them in a judging way and to somehow think that we are better than them and be critical because they don't think the same as me. Now remember, and we'll talk about this, Paul's not talking about issues of doctrine here or principle. These are preferences that people had in the church in Rome. And some, because of immaturity, they didn't see it clearly. They held a position that seemed to be a little extreme or it was maybe more restrictive than even what the Word of God would require. And some held that position as if, and we'll talk about this too, they held that position as if it made them more godly than the one who didn't. And others who were more free, who said, hey, I have liberty in Christ, they looked down on the weaker brother because of that position that they held. And that's the tendency, to reject those who are not like me in thinking or practice, or to look down or to judge and somehow think we're superior or better. And Paul says, receive that Christian brother. Take to oneself. Admit to friendship. Don't shun them. But then you get to verse 3, and we're challenged even to respect our Christian brother, even if they hold a different view than we do. He says in verse 3, "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him." We're challenged to respect our Christian brother. You know what? We may not think the same. We may not see things the same way. But if we're not careful, we're going to allow our differences to end up driving a wedge between us because of the nature of the flesh. If we're not careful, we allow those differences to start to drive a wedge between us. And it disrupts the unity of a church. You know what? If I think, you know, that you shouldn't do a certain thing that you do in your life, maybe in the form of entertainment, you do this or you allow this, and if I think that you shouldn't do it, but you go ahead and do it anyway, and the Bible doesn't speak expressly to it, and it's not a matter of testimony, and it's not a matter of of harming the testimony of the church and so on, but it's something that you prefer that I don't typically prefer. You know what? I need to be big enough in the Lord to overlook that, or to say, you know what? The Bible doesn't speak expressly to that. I don't personally hold that as part of my life, but it's not going to make me shun you. It's not going to make me disrespect you. It's not going to keep me from being a friend to you. You see, there are some things that are worth dying for, like doctrine. That's a mountain that I can die on. But there are other things that are simply nothing but personal preferences that are not worth dying over. Mm-hmm. But often, those are the things that people are the most critical of. Did you know that? I think you do, from practical or personal experience. Often those are the things that people are the most critical of. You know, for example, you know, exactly how you might deal with your child when X happens may not be exactly the same way that I would do that. And I could sit across the room and I could see X happening with your child and I could be, I wouldn't deal with it that way. I would do it this way. You must be a bad parent. The judgment is that you're a bad parent because you don't deal with it exactly the same way that I would. Now, if there's Bible principles involved, listen, I can make an assessment and a judgment there, but when it comes to something that's a matter of preference or a matter of the way you deal with it, that doesn't mean that that all of a sudden you're a bad parent and now, listen, I have to break fellowship with you and separate from you because I passed a judgment on you wrongly. But these are sometimes the kinds of things that are the most, that people become the most critical of. But these are also the very things that should never be allowed to hinder unity in the church. Some in Rome were weak in the faith. They hadn't grown to spiritual maturity. Some were strong. But the danger for the stronger believer was to look with contempt upon the weaker believer for the position they held. The danger for the weaker brother was to judge the stronger brother. How could a born-again Christian do that when it wasn't even something that the Bible spoke clearly on in the first place? It's important for us to recognize that in every church, inevitably, there are going to be differences between believers, and we need to carefully deal with those differences in humility and in love. That's the point that Paul is making. You get down to where he says in verse 14, he says, "I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, the thing that you're doing, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. He says, you know what? If you hold that position and you take the I'm superior than you, and it doesn't matter what you think and it doesn't matter how you feel, if you're not walking in love towards your brethren, if that is not the focus, if that's not the, and holding on to my own Christian liberty is the thing that I'm grabbing onto, now you're not walking in charity, not walking in love. The greater good is the unity of the body. The greater good is to build one another up, not to hold on to my own personal preference. There's always going to be differences. And we need to be careful to deal with these differences with humility and love. Listen, we all have different temperaments. Sometimes people are the type that are prone to worry or anxiety over everything. And that type of person can be easily bothered by things that just kind of roll off your back, like, whatever, it's not a big deal. But somebody else is full of anxiety and fear inside and just panic inside. And they can be really bothered by certain things. And you know what? Maybe that's, I'm not like that. That's not me. Maybe that person needs to grow in that area of their life. But what do they need me as a brother in the Lord to be to them? They need me to be kind and they need me to be patient with them. Why? Because that might be an area of their life that God wants to grow them in, but God eventually may want to use me to help them grow in that area, and so they need me to be kind and patient with them so they can become more mature in the faith themselves. But if I judge them because they aren't like me, now I'm acting in pride and not in love. We all have different temperaments. We all have different natural and spiritual gifts. Sometimes people get threatened by other people's strengths. And rather than being threatened by another person's strengths, you know, or differences, we should rejoice in them. We should learn from them. Why? Because in this very same context, in chapter 12, Paul talks about how this church in Rome was a body and how every body had different parts and different functions and different features, and every part was necessary for the good of the whole. We ought to use those differing gifts for the purpose of building up one another in the Lord and building up the church, the body of Christ. We need to understand this, that we all have different natural gifts and natural gifts and spiritual gifts. It makes us different. That's the point. We all have different experiences in life. You know, some have come to Christ out of very difficult backgrounds, whereas others grow up in loving homes. Some people have gone through horrible things, horrible trials in their life, whereas others have had relatively few traumatic things happen to them. We all have different experiences in life. And before you judge another person, maybe we should try to get to know them and understand them and find out where they come from. Find out what their background is. Talk to them so that you can actually have an understanding about them instead of sitting back in judgment over them. They're not like me. Come on. It might help. I think that what happens typically is that when you listen to people talk and you receive them, like Paul talks about here, you learn some things about them, you understand them a little bit better, and you can start to understand why they think the way that they do. Now, it doesn't mean that it's right, and maybe you can help them see it a better way or a different way, but at least you have an understanding, and it prevents wrong judgment. But I think typically what happens is when we listen to people, listen to their testimony, we find out that, you know what, it's not at all of what I thought it was. And it changes our viewpoint, and we can be humbled, and we can actually be enriched to hear how God has worked in their life. We all have different experiences in life. And you know what? The fact of the matter is, we're all at different stages of growth in our Christian life. Some are weaker, new believers in the faith. They're babies in Christ. You know what? You don't expect a baby to take on the responsibilities of an adult. Babies need time to grow. They need teaching. They need guidance. Now, of course, if a baby is doing something that's going to bring harm to them, you know, they're going to touch the hot burner. You don't just let them do it. You warn them, and you give them that warning for their own safety. And so it is in the Christian life. If a new believer is going to do something that's going to damage their relationship to the Lord or the testimony of the church, you give that strong warning, but you don't disown them if they're acting in immaturity. You know what we do? We simply receive them, accept them, try to show them a better way so that they can grow in the Lord. But if I show contempt for the weaker brother's view, or I am insensitive and try to prove how wrong they are in their thinking, you know what? I'm not acting in love. And I'm not going to actually do good to that brother. In fact, I'm probably going to do harm. Verse 15, Paul says that. He says, "But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died." You see the potential ramifications there? Destroying that brother in the Lord. And so the point is, we're all different in many ways. And so we need to learn how to accept one another, to encourage one another in the proper time and manner. If it's necessary, then we can correct one another. But we should not sit in judgment. If we judge or look down our nose or show contempt, we're only going to cause harm. And it's going to disrupt the unity of the church. And so Paul says we need to receive them. So we learn the principle, there's always going to be differences. How do we get along in spite of our differences? The second thing that we need to note here is that Paul is dealing with secondary matters, meaning that he's dealing with areas that the Bible does not speak directly about, or at least it gives room for differences in these areas. And so this actually becomes a principle for us today in areas that the Bible doesn't speak expressly about. Now, we may not have the same issue of whether we should eat meat offered to an idol and take on a vegetarian lifestyle or so on. We may not have these same issues where we consider some, you know, days to be holy days and others not. We don't have those same issues that Paul was dealing with in the church in Rome, but we do have others that are applicable to our day, things that are matters of preference. And that's what really Paul is dealing with, these secondary matters. He's not talking about matters where the Bible speaks clearly. In those things, we must make judgments when that is the case. For example, when it's an issue of sin, we need to judge sin as sin and make that assessment and make that judgment. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you remember Paul rebuked the church at Corinth because they weren't dealing with that one who was living in immorality in the church, and they all knew about it. And Paul said, he said, "You're wrong. You need to deal with this. You need to call it what it is and get it out." We can't, and Paul's not talking about being tolerant and accepting in areas like that. We can't tolerate false doctrine. We need to make judgments when it comes to these things. In fact, and it was mentioned this morning in Sunday school, Pastor Humphrey mentioned the church at Galatia. Go over to Galatians chapter 1. Paul rebuked the Judaizers' view that some were saying that they must obey the law of Moses in addition to faith in Christ in order to be saved. And Paul said that's a false gospel, and anybody who teaches that is accursed. In chapter 1, in verse 6, Paul says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And he's talking about another one of a different kind. Verse 7, which is not another. This gospel is not another. It's not another one of the same kind. It's totally different. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. In other words, Paul was rebuking those Judaizers who were adding to faith in Christ for salvation. And it was a false gospel. It's false doctrine. You have to make judgments and assessments. You know, when someone in the church is preaching that, oh, all you got to do is believe in Jesus Christ and you don't even have to repent, it's a false gospel. Or to make judgments. If someone comes into the church and they have a Calvinistic, you know, view and doctrine and they're starting to spread that and talk about it, you know, it's my job as the pastor to say, no, that's wrong. That's not going to happen here. You either conform to the Word of God or you get out. No. We make those judgments. We can't tolerate false doctrine. Judge sin as sin. And so there is a sense in which we're all accountable to one another when it's those kinds of things. But in this matter that Paul is dealing with in Romans, he's dealing with things that are not clearly defined by the Bible as being absolutely right or absolutely wrong. And when it comes to those things in our own life, in the Christian life, you know what? We're actually accountable to no one but God. What's the remedy? Or what keeps us from looking down or falsely judging others in a manner that's not pleasing to the Lord when it comes to these secondary matters? Well, look at verse 4. Go back to our text in chapter 14 and look at verse 4. Paul says this. He says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. What keeps us from looking down our nose or falsely judging others in a way that's not pleasing to the Lord is to remember this, that ultimately we're all accountable to God. Paul says here that who art thou that judgest another man's servant? In other words, what authority do I have? Who made me judge or master over you? You know, later on, Paul says, verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself, for whether we live, we live unto the Lord, whether we die unto the Lord, whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. And he says in verse 9 that Christ is Lord both of the dead and the living. Ultimately, we're accountable to God. I don't have authority to make judgments in your life over things that are preference. You know what? I didn't save the one with whom I may differ. God did. I'm not the one who's going to keep and perfect that saint of God with whom I may differ. God is. I'm not the man who is to be the Lord and the judge over another person. God is. And the principle is that we're all servants of God and we're all going to give an account to the Lord for ourselves. Paul says that very same thing in the text. That we're going to give an account of ourselves for the Lord. And so in that regard, to the Lord, we're going to stand or fall. And our focus and our concern is it should not be whether or not people are lining up with exactly how I think or exactly how I would do it. Our focus and concern is that, you know what, I'm responsible for myself before the Lord. And if God wants to change that about somebody, then it's God's business to do that. Not for me to correct or realign them. My job is to love my brother. My job is to accept him in Christ. My job is to trust God to work in his life. And God may want to use me to do that, but that's still God's business. People get hung up so easily on differing positions and become so critical sometimes over these things that are really secondary issues that the devil can use to actually derail and distract from what our main focus and main purpose ought to be. We're all prone to judge those who are different than we are. That's a human tendency, but we need to learn to accept one another, even in our differences, to love one another in the Lord in spite of our differences, especially when it comes to minor matters where the Bible actually doesn't give specific commandments in. There are many issues where the Bible is either silent or not clear about what to do. And often we can apply a Bible principle to figure out what we should do. On some issues, you know, very godly men just absolutely differ in their positions. And you know what? That's the Lord's business. We might debate our case, but we need to be gracious towards those who are different than us. For the sake of unity, for the sake of the glory of God, we can get along even though we have differences. And that's really what Paul is saying here to the church. Listen, be careful. Don't let your differences drive a wedge between you. Because ultimately, we're accountable to God, and everyone's going to answer for himself to the Lord. And who are you to judge your brother? So he says, let us not judge one another anymore. But what should we do? Well, we should be accountable for ourselves to the Lord. And we should walk in love one towards another so that God would be glorified in it. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these principles that are so practical for life. And the tendency is to be critical, or the tendency is to judge when people are not the same as us, and not be gracious or allow for differences. And when the Word of God speaks clearly, we should stand on it. And when someone's life is not evidencing Christ, we can make those judgments. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, by their fruits ye shall know them. It's not really a matter of being accepting or tolerant when it comes to truth, but it's really a heart issue, a spirit about us to be gracious one with another in spite of the fact that we might be different in some things. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us to grow, to be like Christ. Lord, to be patient and kind, to be gracious one with another for the sake of Christ, for the unity of the church, so that we might move forward in our purpose and our work of the Lord. And to be careful to not let minor differences or a different way of seeing things become something that is a wedge that begins to be driven between brothers and sisters in Christ. And to not let the devil gain victory, but to walk in love one toward another, to edify one another as the scriptures teach, Lord, that you be pleased in it. In Jesus' name, amen.